It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Labatt Studio. It's quarter number two, and Tucker's Tape is brought to you by GoPSURV.com. For the best single-game RV value in Happy Valley, check out GoPSURV.com. They have fantastic RVs that you can rent for individual games, free shuttle to and from the stadium, large projection TVs, free Wi-Fi, and enjoy tailgating with 409 Tailgate Club barbecue and wine, along with Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and Labatt Beer. Join us Friday night at the GoPSURV.com lot for a great tailgate party. And you don't have to be renting an RV to join the fun. For more info about renting an RV for any home game, go to PSURV.com for all the details. All right, it's Tucker's Tape, Ross Tucker, Bob Flounders, Andy Shea. Second week in a row, Penn State's put 63 points on the board. They scored the last 42 in Champaign on a Friday night. Penn State 63, Illinois 24. You have a laundry list of takeaways that stuck out from you from this game, Ross, and you're going to tell us a little bit about what you think they mean going forward.
Right. I mean, first of all, do you guys want the good news or the bad news?
I think good. Let's go with good.
Yeah, let's go with good.
All right. The good news is, and we touched upon this a little bit at the end of quarter number one, but the offensive line is really good. I mean, they're really playing well. It felt like they could get 8 to 10 yards a carry against a Big Ten team on the road. And honestly, at one point, and I never felt this way, even when they had Saquon, I never felt this way. Like when they would throw the ball, I'd be like, what are they doing? Just keep running it. You know, just keep running it. They can't stop it. So that group is good, and they're playing well together. And I also agree with what Bob said. Miles Sanders is really good. I mean, he's really productive. You could tell on the long run he had, both he and Slade, they're not Saquon when it comes to pure speed. You could tell that in the open field. I mean, they're both fast enough to score long touchdowns, but they're not him. And we saw what Saquon did against the Houston Texans on Sunday as well. But they're both good, but Miles Sanders in particular is a really good player. And my guess is he'll be one and done as a player at Penn State. He's going to end up having a really good year, and then he'll probably move on. That would be my recommendation. I know Penn State fans don't like hearing that because it's a Penn State show, Penn State podcast, whatever. But remember, guys, I played 7 years in the NFL. I always look at it through what's best for the young man, right? And that would be what would be best for him. Heck, Penn State might benefit from that, because Haskins, the quarterback for Ohio State, might be one and done. Yeah. The way he's playing right now and not looking like there's any other really great quarterbacks, I don't know why he would come back to school potentially if he can keep that up. So the good news is, I thought the run game really good. Juwan Johnson
caught a touchdown pass.
Finally made a couple plays, which is nice. They needed that. And by the way, second week in a row where the broadcasters talked about Juwan Johnson and the need for him to focus and the need for him to step up his game, which means that's a real point of emphasis for Penn State coaches when they're talking with these broadcasters in their production meetings, is that I don't know what Juwan's done, but he hasn't done enough. Maybe that maybe he's coming alive, Bob, right when they need him to.
He did close. For whatever reason, he played his best football last year in the final month and in the Fiesta Bowl. And he just might be one of those guys, but he's such an impressive guy to look at on the field. You would think he could literally just dominate most secondaries, but it just hasn't been the case. I just don't know how he reacts when he drops a pass, and I don't know if he hangs his head. I don't know if it affects him, if he's in a funk, but he does have the skill set, I think, just to be like an athletic, almost like an athletic tight end. He's that big, but he just struggles so hard to get going. That touchdown pass he caught in the fourth quarter, I thought, was one of the big plays in the game. I think it was 3rd and 12, and they needed that to extend their lead.
Huge.
So it's a good sign that he produced in the clutch, but that's only his second career touchdown pass, which is really hard to believe.
Only his second career touchdown catch.
Yeah, in Iowa.
Iowa one. Yeah. Wow. He comes up clutch, I guess, when he needs to. So, and Ohio State plays a lot of press man coverage. They've got legit studs at corner always. I can remember a couple years ago, I don't know if either one of these kids are playing yet, but the corners in the U.S. Army Bowl that were going to Ohio State look like absolute NFL corners already. They were like 6'1 and a half, 205. Sean Wade, Akuda, Jeffrey Akuda, one from Florida, one from Texas. Just really, really impressive. So Juwan Johnson's going to have to beat man-to-man coverage. I also thought some of the things that were positive in the second half, Kevin Givens and Robert Windsor both stepped up and made really important plays. Windsor might have had a sack. Givens had a tackle for loss and another play where he made the guy bubble so much that – and those negative plays killed Illinois late in that game. So I thought Windsor and Givens stepping up and making plays were really big. And another good sign, early in the game especially, I thought Jan Johnson was playing well, making a bunch of tackles. He had that pick in the second half. But I saw some really good things from both Ellis Brooks and Micah Parsons as well. It feels like those young guys are kind of coming of age in the second half. They were much better than they were in the first half. I'll get to that when we get into some of the negative stuff.
All right, you're listening to Tucker's Tape, brought to you by the best single game RV experience, GoPSURV.com. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, Penn State fans, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. All right, Ross, it's your thing. You talked about Jan Johnson was making some tackles, and the linebackers after the first half started making some plays. Keep going.
Yeah, the last thing I would say there is I think it's really interesting that they had John Reed starting on the outside at the start of the game. I wasn't expecting that over Castro Fields. And Sutherland started, right?
He didn't start.
Did he come in the second
play? He came in right away, and then James singled him out earlier this week as a guy that can find the ball, and he's one of the better tacklers, he said, on the team. So I think they're going to play him a lot, I think, the rest of the way. They really like him.
He's basically their second or third safety now.
Yes, correct.
He's leapt over Lamont Wade.
Yeah, and I think that they've liked him for a while. I don't know if Lamont – I don't know what the deal is with Lamont. He's not the biggest guy, but I think that Jonathan Sutherland, you're going to see him in close to a timeshare with – he was playing deep a lot too, but they were also – then they would walk him up close to the line of scrimmage because they couldn't stop the run.
Close to a timeshare with Garrett Taylor.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's – I mentioned that because I want to combine that with John Reed struggling again. And so I wonder if Penn State thinks about putting Lamont Wade back at nickel corner because he did pretty well, I thought, at nickel corner last year.
He did, but I think on
especially Donovan Johnson's hurt now. Do we have an update there, Bob?
It's like an elbow. I think he might have dislocated his elbow or his shoulder. It looked like he was in a lot of pain.
Right, so he's hurt and Reed's struggling. So who's their next inside?
I don't know. Tariq Castro Fields left the game.
Yeah,
and then he came back. It looked like he was being looked at for a concussion. And if they didn't have him this week, I think there would really be some cause for concern. They have John Reed listed as a starter on this week's depth chart, but he still doesn't look himself to me. He looks very slow to react, and I just don't know if there's Ross any residue from the knee injury. He just doesn't trust it to move because I remember you were really impressed with how he played in the 2016 game against Ohio State. He made some plays in the second half, batted some balls down. They need him to play better, and I don't think we've seen that yet from him.
No, and the other thing is, you know, I don't know maybe they should even redshirt Lamont Wade. I mean, if they can. And he can play nickel corner next year. I don't know. I just – if he's not going to be any better than the fourth corner, I don't really see the point of it. Their second unit, their second front seven, that was atrocious. That was really – their second D-line, in particular the D-tackles, are really bad. And it's really hard to win in college football with as much up-tempo as people go. And as many plays as they run, you need depth. You need to be able to roll guys through. And you need – I mean, they did all right in the first couple series, and then they put in the twos, and Illinois went right through them. I mean, that was kid Epstein?
Yeah.
The holes Mike Epstein. Were gigantic, and Epstein was just flying. I mean, it was almost no resistance from the second unit, they're not going to be able to make wholesale substitutions. They're going to have to spot
mix
sub
and match
guys.
Yeah.
One at a time every once in a while. Run defense in general, though, very concerning. I mean,
here
with the teams they have
backs
to play, we've said this every week. It's they could be, with the teams they play, Michigan and Wisconsin, they could be in a lot of trouble. The good news is their offense is really good and their offensive line's really good. What, I don't even know what practice must be like. You know, when they had the ones on the ones, Penn State must just, the offensive line must just run over them. But the run defense, very, very concerning. Feels like for the first time in a long time, they're going to have to commit the extra guys and just hope that Castro Fields and Amani O, that those guys can make plays on the Ohio State receivers. Single post safety, one guy in the middle of the field, put those guys more isolated, because if they don't commit to the run, Ohio State will just run over them.
They're in a bind because they have not, the younger defensive linemen haven't stepped up a little bit. We're a month into the season. Ross is right. They can't play Kevin Givens 50 snaps. They can't play Sharif Miller 50 snaps against Ohio State, or they get worn out. They're in a tough spot. They're either going to have to tackle better or they're going to have to force some turnovers. But yeah, they can't liberally substitute on defense, I think, against Ohio State, or it's just going to be bad news.
And I'm not a fan of kickers to begin with.
But really?
The kid kicking the ball out of bounds twice just drives me bananas.
Cheka.
I mean, Cheka yourself and kick it down the middle, please. It just we talked on last quarter number one, which people can always listen to on the Keystone Sports app or KeystonesportsNetwork.com. And if you're not following us on Twitter at KSN Sportsnet, what are you doing, dudes? But anyway, special teams are going to have to be huge in this game. And I think you can't give Ohio State good field position like that. And I'm wondering, in a big game like this, he looks to me like he's still a little, I don't know, iffy. So that was the other one that jumped out to me.
All right, that'll do it for quarter number two from the Labatt Blue Studio. They are your questions, his answers. Ask Ross is next. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority and its recycling partners thank you, football fans, for your increased participation in game day recycling efforts. Remember, recyclables go in the blue bags or in the blue containers. That's plastic bottles, glass bottles, and metal cans. Everything else goes in the clear trash bags. Securely tie the bags and leave them where you parked. And remember, don't leave your grills, chairs, and other bulk items behind. Nittany Nation, let's be Penn State proud and keep our grounds looking great.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.